Around Comics, Episode 80.
I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, Tom, it's, to be completely honest, proving that we will go to all links to get the listeners a show out. We've relocated to the Crank Cave.
And, we're broadcasting live from a undisclosed location.
I thought we were going to say we're broadcasting from a racquetball court at the Y.
I beg your pardon. That's been renamed the Crank Compound.
The Crank Compound.
We had some technical difficulties this week.
And why did we have those technical difficulties?
Because somebody forgot their power cord for their laptop.
It must have been Tom.
Yeah, Tom forgot the power cord. No, I forgot the power cord for my laptop, so we had no power, so we couldn't record. So we invaded the Crankcast.
We called Chris and said, hey, can we get a cord? And he's like, hey, why don't you come on over and record?
And here we are.
Short story long.
Much to his chagrin.
So let's go ahead and introduce you to the expanded panel. Our host for the evening is none other than Chris Crank. He's one of the co-hosts for the Crankcast. Chris,
hey, how's it going?
Hey, this is the first like recording of Chris without Mike, I think. I don't think there's been any podcast.
Crankcast without Mike.
I've done a couple.
Have you?
He's been away, doing
oh, that's
involving,
right.
involving life and things like that. You know.
Well, we also have our good buddy and the artist of Scar Tissue and various other projects.
Fiendish Fables.
Fiendish Fables, which is coming out, which he'll tell us in just a minute. Mr. Dave Wachter.
Hi.
And Fiendish Fables is when?
Soon.
From Brain Scan?
Yes.
Just checking.
Very talkative.
We made a deal. Dave's only going to say one syllable word the entire time.
Who's that
yep.
speaking?
And our next guest is the owner of Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, Mr. Mark Beatty.
I had a chance to go home and I didn't take it.
Yeah, who's minding the store, man?
Since we couldn't
There's like two urchins that must have a Galactus statue now.
Normally it closes at 9.
Oh, that's true.
Usually by the time we get started recording.
Since we couldn't record at the shop, we brought the shop to the recording.
And our last guest. Everybody knows him. He is the host of Word Balloon. He is our good friend, Mr. John Sundress.
Hello again, everybody. Boy, oh boy, what a beautiful day for baseball.
Hey, he haunts your waking dreams.
I believe me.
Can you do Mr. Magoo?
Oh, Magoo. You certainly can.
It's better because you're wearing your glasses.
Well,
exactly.
He's the man of a thousand voices.
I can't see a damn thing anyway.
Everybody.
I can do Dan DiDio, though, very well. Okay, go ahead.
Put on your seatbelts. It's going to be one of those episodes. Before we
disappointing.
get
disappointing,
another
Sal,
horrible.
Sal, why don't you tell everyone who this episode is sponsored by?
This episode is sponsored by Borders. Your heart pounds, your palms sweat. The tension is nearly unbearable, and then you spot it—that graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere, right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
That's right. Thank you to the fine folks at Borders.
You can even get discounts on books you don't like. They won't test you on whether it's really a favorite.
if you really enjoy it, you can just yell and scream about it.
Yeah.
And we do have, now we have the banner at our website. You can click on it, and there's a 20% off coupon. And even though the coupon says not
valid on comics.
On comics, it's valid on graphic novels and trades and that kind of
just
stuff.
Just not floppy.
Just not, single issue.
Yes. Act like you're from Chicago, click early, click often, and go to Borders. All right, well, Around Comics is recorded at the Crank Cave, but normally it's recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. If we're not at the Crank Cave, we would love to meet you. While you're there, remember to ask about Dark Tower's Pull List membership. It's one of the best you'll find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, independent comics and trades, as well as statues and action figures. Come to Dark Tower Comics for all of your comics and collectible needs. Right, Mark?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, folks, this is one of our
over there.
This is one of our Monday news and reviews episodes, and that means it is time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
Well, WonderCon was last week. We are deep into convention season, and we just came off heels of the New York Comic Con. WonderCon was in San Francisco, and we had some interesting news from that.
I didn't even know it was going on until after it hit, like Monday. They had the Monday afterwards. I'm like,
oh, really?
They just had New York. What the
it's
hell
the
is this?
It's the sneakiest of all the cons.
It is
traditional.
No, it is.
It's like a ninja.
It's, your best
it's the ninja
to
con.
Really get to know cool creators. I mean, two friends became very close to Grant Morrison last year at WonderCon because it's such an intimate con.
I like that. Like, you mean like within like 4 feet?
Yeah, they actually got to.
They were able to.
They felt his breath as he spoke. That's how.
Well, and he took off on a rainbow into the sky.
I know that the
they touched the chair he was sitting in.
The Emerald City Con is coming up, and that sounds like it's going to be a great convention.
And in between, Wizard World Los Angeles is next is this weekend, if as the broadcast of this would indicate, because
so,
we're going to be broadcasting on Monday, of course.
So we're, you know, we're basically getting it deep into convention season.
Yes.
So Wire to Wire Comic News
knee
is
deep.
Going to, I think, regularly have a lot of conventions.
Ball
so,
deep.
So let's get into the WonderCon wrap up. The Green Arrow Year One miniseries has been announced with a few other Year One projects, including Teen Titans, Metamorpho, and Black Lightning coming up. Guys, Year One, are you liking the series?
I think the creative teams are interesting.
I'm kind of excited about the Green Arrow, with the team on it.
The Losers was great.
Losers was one of those series that just never grabbed the attention of a lot of mainstream fans, and I loved that series.
Oh, but it was so tight.
It was
like a toy gun.
It was a great A-team played for real, and it was fantastic. But I... I'm also excited about the Black Lightning Year One because Jen Van Meter is going to be writing that, and she's proven herself. I think she's a really good writer. I'd like to see her get more mainstream DC work.
What else has she done? I'm not familiar with her.
She did JSA Classified, that Injustice game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I thought was excellent.
Jen Van Meter, her husband is what's his name?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, come on.
Mr. Van Meter? It's Mr. Van Meter?
That's why Chris...
Oh, it's Greg Rucka's wife.
Jen is one of those cool women.
I'm sorry. I'm not all up to date on
she's
who's married
to who.
She's
a bunch of
Onis. And Rucka has been mentioned.
How come her name is in...
Hopeless Savages.
Jen Van
Rucka. Yeah, Hopeless Savages was a great series.
Excellent.
Another well-written, tightly, group kind of series. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's great. We're also looking at All-Star Batman and Robin, issues 5 and 6.
Yeah, sure we are.
According to Dan DiDio.
But they're in the can. I swear to God, we're going to be getting them out to you real soon. I appreciate everybody waiting. It's okay.
I left the office and signed off on them.
God, I was amazed. You were talking about, you had done the DiDio impersonation last week, and then I was listening to the DC Nation panel from New York today on the way here, and I'm like, my God, he had it. You were nuts on that thing.
Yeah,
man.
I know. It's scary.
You're perfect. And you look just like him. You could probably go to cons and just be him. You could just pretend to be him, probably get like a free
or if
hot
he's
dog
late,
or
you know. Listen, I can't get up to the podium, but I'm going to talk to you from here, okay? We're going to cut our prices. Every book now is just a dime, okay? That's not a problem, is it, Paul?
Well,
all right, Paul's on the floor.
Speaking of Dan DiDio, he's already backtracking from some of the unintentional reveals. He's already saying that the flash in the countdown teaser image was not Barry Allen. So, do we believe him? No.
Who cares?
No, yeah.
I'll find out when it happens.
I'll find out when I read it.
Sorry to deflate that discussion.
End of discussion.
I'm not even going to fucking read it now. Forget it.
No, by the way, Bedard on the Black Canary year one should be cool, too, because she did a great job on that shorty in Birds of Prey 100. Sure. As much as I'd like to see Gail continue with the Black Canary series, I think Tony's a great writer, and I'm happy to see him on that series.
I think Gail is, you know, to have a bad pun, she's spreading her wings and moving on.
Oh, God, fucking
that
damn.
Was a bad pun. That was bad. Oh, no, she's Christ. Moving on some other series and focusing on some other things. So I like seeing her get some different attention away from Birds of Prey. Moving on, Brian K. Vaughan is apparently a fan of one of our favorite new writers, and that's Jason Aaron. He's singing the praises of Scalped and The Other Side.
Well, that's good. They're both series. Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just once again, it's you got to give it to Vertigo. I mean, they always find interesting things. Who would have thought an Indian reservation and casino would be the focus of, like, a book that you'd really look forward to every month?
I would, because when I used to go to the Indian casino in Green Bay...
Yeah. He just dreamed of...
It was rife with story potential. No, it was actually very
depressing.
Anywho, you could get free soda.
All right.
And I just love the Push Towards War comics, and I think that's kind of ironic. And that I remember 5 years ago, are we going to see any Iraq or any wartime comics now? And everyone's... I don't know.
I just wanted the
exception of Garth Ennis' war stories.
It's not a push towards war comics. It's a surge.
Thank you. It's a pull.
A pull toward.
Well, okay. One of our other favorite series, The Exterminators. They're announcing some. I don't know if I want to call them fill-in artists, but Ty Templeton and Derek Robertson are going to be doing. It looks like 7 issues between the two of them before Tony Moore comes back onto the series. So we're going to see some different.
Robertson's been doing covers, so if you like the covers,
I think Ty Templeton stuff will fit. Yeah. Ty Templeton does. Do you guys remember Stig's Inferno, which was an early '90s? Weird.
I remember Towering
Inferno. Now, Stig's
Inferno
was this creator-owned project of Templeton's, and it had weird stuff that I think fits in quite nicely with Exterminator.
I based my whole life philosophy on that book.
Was that the thing in the late 80s with the X-Men that did the... No.
No.
You're thinking of Executioner's Song. Very good, Oz.
Well, if you're looking for something to read.
Speaking of the Exterminators, we were supposed to talk with Simon Oliver tonight for our Thursday episode. We had to push we had to push that back. We're going to talk with Simon on this coming Friday, so look for next Thursday for a conversation with him. In the meantime, please go out
everywhere
and... No.
Oh.
Are we done?
Boy, you were the closer for an early ending.
I had no idea the time went by then.
No, in the meantime, please check out the Exterminators, the second trade.
We should probably mention we're more than likely only going to have one episode this week of this because we're, you know,
we should also
abusing our acquaintance with Crank.
You could fit a lot more commercials into it and just cut it in two.
We could do that.
Well, you know, I...
Do another Dark Tower commercial?
Why are we having a pre-production meeting?
This is why our shows are so fucking loud. Does anyone want to talk about any memories from New York Con while we're traipsing down the slow road?
I only got halfway through my thank you list. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Quick reminder for all of the
LCS owners and managers out there, including you, Mr. Beatty, Nexus, and our good friends Steve Rude and Janelle Rude.
The
Nexus Free Comic Book Day edition is coming out. You have until the 15th of March to get your orders in. If you are a fan of Nexus, please ask your
even if you're not
local,
a fan.
Please ask your local comic shops to
one
to
of
get
the finest
that order.
Artists in comics ever.
Hell yeah!
I'm always excited about new Nexus.
You bet.
You know, because that book just ruled.
Get ready, because there's a lot.
I live my life by that.
Really? The new Archive just came out. Archive number 5.
Was that the one from Dynamite?
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse?
Dark Horse is reissuing the Archive.
Wasn't Dynamite doing some new trade or
it
something?
It was a
Dynamic
D.
Forces.
Dynamic Forces, one of those?
Maybe Dynamic Forces.
What's the
D's
there?
It's that Dynamite,
it's
Dynamic.
D.
I don't know. I'm confused with them.
You guys don't know. Yeah, you've talked to him. I haven't talked to Steve.
As far as I know, Dark Horse was doing all the Archives. And when we talked to Steve, we asked him that, what was going to happen, you know, beyond that with the new stuff. I think there's only 5. Is there 5 Archives or 6?
There's 5 Archives now. I believe there is a 6th volume
and
planned.
Is the Moth coming out also through Dark Horse?
Yeah, no, it's coming
through
Rude Dude.
That is
Rude Dude. He's doing that himself.
The new books through Rude Dude, too.
Yeah, yes. The new Nexus is through.
Anything new from Steve Rude is going to be through Rude Dude Productions.
Right,
and
right.
From what I hear, he's doing like, drawing like 3 books a month right now. it's insane, his schedule.
Sorry, I'm going to plug for a second here. Maybe I shouldn't.
Pullboxonline.com?
Sure, but I believe, Pullbox might be carrying some of the new Nexus stuff sooner or later.
Oh, cool.
Fantastic. That is great news.
Do you have any announcements as far as
Don't glare at me, Mark.
Do you have any new announcements for...
No, not at the moment.
All right.
But check out pullboxonline.com. It's a great way to download legally comics for about $1 a piece.
I bought Elsinore.
Oh, that's cool.
Recently, which really like that series.
And I'm really sad that you know, because of whatever outside influences
forces
things that couldn't be controlled. I'm sorry I didn't actually get
a
completed. But I mean, that was a good book.
It was great art and a really cool story.
Well, I started buying Hackslash through Pullbox,
which is another fine title.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, next story. Josh Whedon reported through IGN.com that his time at Marvel is probably winding down. It looks like he's gonna go play with his other toys in Hollywood. He gave some interesting reasons why.
Yeah, and plus he's got, you know, season 8 of Buffy to kind of, you know, oversee and execute.
I initially put this on the site. I had found the IGN.com did an interview with him, and this was just a part of the interview. It was near the end, but I just thought it was interesting his comments on it. Sort of his commentary on the state of the Marvel Universe and how it makes it a little difficult sometimes for writers to come in and pitch or create new stories because everything is so caught up in Civil War and these big events
sure.
and the continuity of it all that, you know, you can't play so much as a writer. And especially a guy like him who he's only doing it because it's fun. You know,
right.
he's not doing it to make a living at it, no. which... you know, I guess there's two ways to look at that, but...
I'm sure the door is open for him to come back, just like it was for and is for Kevin Smith.
Sure.
He feels
well,
like
yeah,
it.
But I think the problem lies in that, you know, he's already talking... He had a fun idea for Fantastic Four that he was pitching, and he pitched the idea, and they said, "Yeah, well, you know what, we already have some plans for Fantastic Four, and it doesn't really fit into what we're wanting to do." And I think as you look at the comic book industry in general, as they continue to draw writers from other mediums, whether it be TV or movies or novels, that these guys are going to come in for limited amounts of time, and they're going to try and tell their stories. And unfortunately, I think that... continuity has a tendency of limiting the types of stories that they can tell. You know, you
well,
look,
sure.
Yeah, a guy like Straczynski has, you know, he came from TV, but he's had a really long stay at Marvel and has really helped to build their continuity up. And
right.
I don't know if that opportunity is really going to be there for a lot of other writers.
Well, I think it will. You know, the reset button will eventually be pushed. I mean, or something.
Oh, no.
Pardon me. You're right. A series of events will occur that will, you know, have the Fantastic Four back where they belong, and it'll be the original four.
Do you think
so?
I mean, at this point, they're doing
of course.
They're doing
Do you honestly think, and I'm sorry, but do you honestly think that, like, the Fantastic Four is, like, going to stay Johnny, Ben, the Panther, and Storm? I mean,
think Marvel has decided for, you know, I don't know how many years we're looking at now, to just go from big event to big event to big event, and the sales of those events have been so good that there's no reason to ever, you know, there's no reason for them at this point to back away from that. Why would they not just keep coming out with
big
events?
Well, they're going to have events that are, A, going to be worthy of size. I don't think they're just going to do events I think they're going to try. But I also think that if they're not happy with an event, we're one bad event away from, I think, everyone being pissed off, especially the way they're stacking the deck now.
I
think we are.
I don't know.
Well, we've had two bad events.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And there might be that reaction. If that's true, that might be the reaction of World War Hulk.
Well, I think
like
the question is, what constitutes a bad event? Is it from a creative?
Yeah, but I'd say bad creative.
You know, John, it's
I'd say late shipping.
I disliked certain like things like House of M and things like that, I can see the line from Avengers Disassembled all the way to Civil War. And it does make sense. And I think redeems a lot of stories that you might, you know, people might go, oh, well, that's bad. But if you stack them with these other
stories...
Yeah,
I mean, maybe bad is not necessarily the right word as much as underwhelming or disappointing in
right.
the end. They
and
keep
the willingness for readers to participate.
My biggest problem with those events is I think they were both good ideas. They both started out strong, but in the end, they both ended weakly because instead of telling a story and getting to a place where that story was complete and then moving on to something else,
yes.
they wanted to just continue the ride from House of M into Civil War and now World War Hulk.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So those stories never get told. They never really have a good logical conclusion or some sort of resolution. Yeah,
The Avengers books are now being allowed to run their own course aside from World War Hulk. The Avengers will be in World War Hulk, but it won't be in the Mighty Avengers or New Avengers. And I think other books like Fantastic Four and, you know, and even Captain America in a couple years, I think Steve Rogers will be back. And I don't mean to tip. Obviously, we all know what happened, and I know that conversation is coming up. That's what I'm saying. I do think as much as they want to shake things up and have things different, eventually the Fantastic Four will return, and Joss Whedon will have his chance to write a story then.
My whole thing with events is that I think they need to almost be handled like seasons in TV, and we talked about, you know, we're talking about Whedon, you look at Buffy, each season was a contained story.
Sure.
They had the big bad,
sure.
they, you know, it was the build up to that last episode, and at the end of that season, you had resolution for that season. You knew it was going to continue into the next season, but you at least had some resolution. With these events, I don't feel like we're getting any sort of resolution.
Fuck you, I quit.
You really?
All right, I'm really quitting.
Where are you
for
going?
Serious.
For serious.
For the real.
My sister's in town, and I thought we'd be farther along by this point, and she's drunk somewhere, so I have to go find her.
Tom has to go save his sister.
Yeah, I have to go find my sister.
All right.
That's a good story, Tom. Tom saves his sister.
I'll carry on a DC conversation by myself, though.
So, yeah, I know.
Way to go.
You can call me later, and we can talk about the Metal Man.
Yeah, would I? All right, excellent. Excellent. I totally will.
Be sure to stay inside and listen to AroundComics.com, especially during daylight hours. Seriously, it's spring, and the glint off your pasty white comic geek skin could blind someone.
We're talking about Fantastic Four, you know. And do you guys remember Batman Beyond?
Sure.
Right? I just started rewatching those at lunch. Like, I come back here and I watch cartoons and eat lunch, right?
Yeah.
So I've been watching Batman Beyond, and season one they had a Fantastic Four clone called, like, the Terrific Three or something like that.
Oh, really? I didn't remember that.
And it was, like, straight up exactly, you know, not exactly, but, like, you know, some sort of crazy rays and scientist and an assistant, and the
kinda
assistant
like the
becomes a big...
planetary, you know, version almost.
And I'm like,
yeah, that's
why did DC rip off Fantastic Four? I mean... Maybe Paul Dini, Bruce Timm, like really liked Fantastic Four, so it was like
I'm sure. Well, do you remember that
nod or something?
Do you remember that Justice League? There's two Justice League episodes where there are Justice League characters with Solomon Grundy, and it's the Defenders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the Amazo is Silver Surfer, and Grundy is the Hulk, and Aquaman is Namor, and seriously, no, if you like look at their characterizations.
Well,
it's
you see
Aquaman
that,
as Namor. It's
that.
Doc Strange as,
I mean,
Dr. Fate. You know,
you see that in comics a lot. Anyway,
sure.
Of just sort of that crossover.
Oh yeah, that kind of fake.
Yeah,
yeah, the ultimate, the group that Loeb created for Superman, Batman. That ultimate group.
What?
That was pretty much the, like, you know, a parody of the Ultimates.
But it is,
yeah,
a little,
I think
weird,
they're just winking at everybody.
Yeah,
sure.
I didn't know if, like, it was just really weird.
Like that Marvel get mad at DC for doing it.
Yeah, like when I was sitting there wondering, like, how could they do this? Like, because I'm pretty sure. Somewhere around there, the Fantastic Four cartoon was on, you know, like, and I'm like,
oh, that's true. That's a good point.
That's,
well,
really,
I mean,
weird.
There's only so far that a copyright would go, I guess. In that,
well,
I mean,
I just mentioned Planetary. I mean, you look. I mean, that's Wildstorm. That's obviously the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I don't know. I think as long as it's not the likeness, I think it's, you know, they're willing to take their chances. Plus, it's animation, dude. So I mean, they'd be fighting over peanuts.
Well, I'm bummed that Tom had to leave because we're going to talk about one of his. Favorite actresses, and that is Maggie Gyllenhaal, is going to be taking over the. Is it Gyllenhaal?
Yes.
It is Gyllenhaal. Like
Jake
Giz.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's his. Yes. That's
his sister.
His sister.
Taking over the pivotal role of
pivotal?
Rachel Davies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, man, you can't be Batman without Rachel Davies. That's all I know. Oh, we can't continue that story.
She's a better actor.
Bruce, you're
the other
you're
brain, the brainwashed girl that they had. She's now been
Katie Holmes?
Yeah.
It's a brainwash.
The Tom Cruise, is that what you're...
Briss, I don't think I know you anymore.
I'll always have a soft spot for Katie Holmes. I don't care how crazy she gets.
I did it too, man. She's gorgeous.
I like Katie Holmes, but I thought she was the worst part of that film. I thought she was kind of useless.
Hey, Chris, now that we are in the Crank compound, where are the Dawson's Creek DVDs?
Oh, are you kidding? He's got, like, that freeze frame of her topless in the gift. Like, he's got a poster of it somewhere, I'm sure.
No, I don't carry it that far.
I will. She's out.
It's just a poster in the bedroom door, and that. No,
I think it's a great casting move, and I'm looking forward. Obviously,
yeah, she's a better actress.
Yeah, that's a good move. I mean, I just saw Stranger in Fiction. Yes.
Will Ferrell.
She's fantastic.
Secretary's excellent, too.
Secretary's fantastic in that.
And I know, Sal, you're a fan of that movie.
Yeah.
I liked her in the Nine Queens remake, Criminal, with John C. Reilly and Diego Luna.
I don't think I've seen that.
Me neither.
So, not a indie based on the Argentinian crime film Nine Queens.
Oh.
All right, we'll move on to some other movie news. John August has been hired to pen Shazam, so we're getting some more news coming out of the Captain Marvel movie.
Peter Siegel's attached to direct that.
Yeah, no, that's good and bad news because I had heard that Geoff Johns was working on that film as well.
Well, they actually in the article, I think it was in Hollywood Reporter, they said that August sat down with Johns for what they called idiot checking. To go over the story and see if there was anything that they really screwed up, that kind of thing. So that's, I mean...
I agree. I think Johns has been... That's a good sign that
sure.
The guy wants to make a movie that's consistent with what's been good about Captain Marvel for DC. And Johns has been the best thing, I think, for Captain Marvel. Taking nothing away from Judd Winnick, I just think that Geoff Johns' characterization is more interesting.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think that's cool.
Sure.
All right, so
I'll go see it.
For last? I was going to say, does that do it for the news for the week? Did anything
well,
else happen?
I don't know. Did you guys catch that still from the, test still, production still, whatever they call it?
Oh, the 300?
Glad you brought that up, Chris.
It was for 300. Trailer.
It was embedded in the 300 trailer.
There's a little Easter egg left in the 300, the R-rated trailer.
They actually sent the guy from the studio, I think, to Ain't It Cool News, sent him a copy of the actual still of Rorschach from the Watchmen movie.
Yeah, the test Rorschach, which...
Because Zack Snyder's directing both films.
Yeah. That was all over the internet today.
It looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it looked all right. Although I was really kind of hoping for more of a... And it's just a test shot, so who knows what it'll finally be. But I was really kind of hoping for a morphing kind of mask for Rorschach.
They got a nice button there, you know.
It looked huge. It was like a giant.
Oh, did he have the smiley face?
It was like holding in his hand, but I don't know if it was just why, you know, just in the shot, it just looked like it was the size of a plate. I mean, it was gigantic, this huge button.
When I first saw the image, I'm like, is that fake? You know, like, I was like.
I think the visuals is going to be the least thing to worry about with that film.
With Watchmen?
Yeah.
I agree with that. But much like V for Vendetta, you want a movie that at least atmospherically is going to capture the mood. Because it's going to, much like V for Vendetta, it's going to be impossible to like squeeze that into a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
So
it should have been a HBO.
Especially the big blue naked guy.
Dr.
That's
Manhattan.
That's going to be a hard one to get by.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot like Austin Powers things. The plate comes in.
That would be hilarious. But
apparently,
Lord.
They're actually setting it in the 80s with Nixon as president and
good
all this other stuff.
Yeah, so, may as well. That's cool.
I just think, like you said, it's such a dense work. I think it's going to be tough to put into a two-hour film.
Well, yeah, when Terry Gilliam is like, I don't know what to do with this. And it's like, really? Jesus.
Well, what is the movie that Gilliam just did?
Man of La Mancha?
No.
He
didn't do
that. He didn't make that one.
What, the Little Miss Sunshine? You know,
was that him?
No. He did another movie about a heroin-addicted family that... It was Chris. You're the big movie.
Yeah, I don't.
I didn't think Gillian had anything out recently.
I'm drawing a blank.
I caught the tail end of it on NPR.
Heroin addicted.
I have no idea, buddy.
Yeah.
Do we have internet here? Can we check it out?
No.
IMDb.
All right,
baby.
Move on.
But I tell you what.
There was one other story that
I've heard about something.
Yeah, there was one other small
story. I'm not seeing it in the show notes.
Yeah. Okay. The joke's not really that funny to begin with, but.
Oh, let's hear it then.
All right, okay. Anyone who has not read Captain America
isn't listening to this podcast.
What book?
Anyone who has not read Captain America number 25, you may want to stop listening now.
This
would be a good
there.
Time to turn on the John Byrne interview again.
Yeah,
bad LCA. There you go.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield are killed. Then he's led to a fight, and the duelist shoots, and the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
And now we bring you a special program. In memoriam to a fallen hero, mercilessly slain by a horde of assassins, under the personal command of Madame Hydra, his body is yet to be recovered from the depths of the Hudson River. Only his bullet-riddled helmet and world-famous shirt remain, grim reminders of the former glory of the fallen Avenger. But the most mysterious item of all is an amazingly lifelike face mask, still bearing the features of Steve Rogers. Commissioner, what is your explanation of the Steve Rogers face mask?
It can only mean one thing. The man whom the world knew as Captain America was not really Steve Rogers. He only pretended to be, to conceal his true identity, an identity which may now be lost to us forever.
So Cap's dead.
That's the,
for now.
From what I hear, Captain America has...
You haven't read the book?
He read it. He's just
okay.
Being coy.
No, I'm...
Very good combination of both JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald's assassinations, I thought.
You don't have to have read it. It was on the news.
Exactly. I guarantee you Joe Simon did not read it, but certainly is aware of it at this point.
The main part everybody knows, but I mean, if you didn't read the issue, it's
one good
of the ones
book.
When you get to that last page, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's definitely a oh shit
moment. There's an oh shit moment there, I mean, fully. I mean,
yeah.
It surprised the hell out of me even.
Let's start with the actual issue, and then we'll get to everything.
The ramifications.
Surrounding it. You know, from... You know, the actual issue, which I thought was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You would expect a comic, you know, The Death of Captain America, that to be the last panel on the last page. That Brubaker did that middle of the issue, I thought was brilliant.
But that's the difference between that and, like, The Death of Superman. That was, The Death of Superman was marketed as, you know, this event that was going to happen. Everybody knew it was going to happen. This was... Captain America number 25, where Cap shot and
yeah, the only thing people said was, if you're a fan of Civil War, you're going to want to read Captain America 25.
Yeah, they didn't give any warning, because otherwise all of the stores would have ordered more.
Exactly.
We'll get into that whole...
And actually made some freaking money on the day.
Well, no, I mean,
the people on eBay.
We will get into that, and to be fair to Marvel, they had been hinting to it, and they did overprint it. And so, I mean, you as a retailer...
Which hasn't stopped anybody from paying $20 a copy on eBay. Right now. Right this minute.
$100.
Well, $100. Yeah, that's just for the Los Angeles version.
And that's the same
thing. Early on. Yeah, the first Los Angeles version?
That's awesome.
Bucks. Why? Because people are stupid.
Yeah, well, they just don't know.
$200. Yes.
What's the alternate cover?
I know somebody right now.
McGinnis?
Oh, I have the McGinnis one. Okay. Oh, that's good.
No, I saw on eBay people were paying for the two covers, the two books, the alternate and the regular one. I had seen it go for $150, $175.
Those were the early ones, the very first day.
Yeah.
Well, but I have a friend of mine who sold 75 copies for $20 a piece.
What bastard did that?
Pre-sold. I'm not going to mention his name.
I thought it was a good story, Chris. I thought of it first.
Yeah. Let's get back to the actual issue.
Well, fuck them. I don't care. You know, if the retailer's doing that, kiss my ass. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't
how
give
many
a shit
I,
that
I
you
say, I'm
couldn't
sure
get 100 copies to sell.
Well, I'm sure a lot of those
piece.
Guys are stores that just as soon as they figure it out pulled those copies and
that's what drives me nuts about retailers.
Yeah, that's pretty lousy.
I sold it to every one of my customers. I even pulled a few because I always fuck up an order here.
I think you sold. Your personal copy.
I did actually do Tom, I believe.
Wow. Well, you're a good store owner. Yeah. And a good man.
Thank God they do that overorder thing, because I'll get it back. I'm like, fuck. So not spending $25 for a fucking comic.
Yeah, you know, there's been a whole lot of shit that, you know, first, you know, just the death of Captain America, a lot of people have freaked out about that. It's like, well, you know, okay. If anybody thinks that he's going to stay dead... it ain't going to happen. Captain America is not going to stay dead. Steve Rogers will be back.
The trick is finding that right balance. I mean, and it's they screwed it up on Batman during when Bane broke his back. Yes.
Yeah.
Went too long. The death of Superman, they kind of milked a little too long. Certainly the clone story.
Well, Superman was bad. Superman
were talking the perfect way to draw this out but keep it extremely entertaining is Sal's long dream.
The Invaders.
Do 6 months of Invader stories as flashbacks.
And then bring them back.
Well, but no, what you want to focus on, obviously, is the void that it has created. Who is going to pick up the mantle? And there's obvious candidates, both negative and positive. And, yeah, with the eventual resurrection of Steve Rogers in somewhere within 2 years. And we'll see how long they play the string. The good news is it's a great writer. And it's Brubaker,
that's what's saving their bacon right now is that you've got
he's right.
After Civil War,
Howard Johnson is right.
This could be a monumental screw up on Marvel's part, but they've got Brubaker doing this. And
I don't think he's going to stay that dead. I don't think he's going to stay dead for that long.
3 months.
No.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I mean, there's already
the rumors that were starting before was.
I think you're going to at least get 1 6 month. Exactly.
He's going to take his place for a while.
Well, right, and then Bucky will
picking the mask up there at the end.
But
and Bucky will make
think
it
Bucky
right.
Will do
isn't that
it.
Pretty
I don't
much the whole
it.
Like you know back in the 90s with the U.S. agent thing? I mean, where somebody else just took his place and it was like whatever.
A short time later, within the austere confines of a midtown funeral parlor.
Will you all please come this way?
Among the mourners are the men he had fought with and the girl who had won his heart.
If only it were a dream. If only it weren't so brutally, so terribly real.
The casket in front of you contains a dummy. Because we never found Steve's body. But we weren't about to let that stop us from giving Cap this tribute. Anything we say is just to make us feel better. Because Captain America doesn't need our praise. His whole life, and the way he lived it, was the greatest epitaph a guy could have. I'm not much at making speeches, but it doesn't matter. Because there's nothing I can say you don't already know. We're gonna miss you, Cap.
Well, the thing, and I was thinking about this too, you know, it's like, if you're Ed Brubaker, and you look at it from the standpoint of, you kind of have, there's only three options. One, you know, he's not dead, and you bring him back real quick, and people are disappointed because you didn't kill Cap. You know, two, he's dead, but somehow you bring him back eventually, and it's a death of Superman all over again.
Right.
It's horrible. Or three, he's dead, and he doesn't come back, and you're the guy that killed Cap.
Well, but
either
I think,
way, it's not
well,
good.
I would love I'd love to see them be ballsy and keep Cap dead. As much as I truly love Steve Rogers and think he needs to always be Captain America, but I do think it would be interesting to see if they had the nuts to do it. The problem is Stan bringing Cap back in the '60s. I think forces Steve Rogers to always be Captain America because the whole point is he's a man out of time and he represents that period and that spirit of when we knew who our enemies were, we knew what America was all about, and he just represents that symbol. He's that New Deal creation.
I think he's one of the few characters that you can't pass the mantle.
That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly.
And
so, I mean, you can try and they've done it obviously, but
well, I mean, not only that, but he's out of the, you know, how many superpowered characters that we have, you know, he's one of those few that is you and me. I mean, he's you and me, except for the fact that, like, he was given a drug that lets him live up to his potential.
Yeah. And the Viper Ray.
Which I've had moments, though,
he's
like
Barry
that.
Bonds.
I mean, usually
when,
after a couple
Barry
of shots.
Bonds.
When it comes down to it, he's not a mutant. He doesn't have these, like issues with being a mutant. He doesn't have this crap.
He is,
you know.
He's the perfect human physical specimen.
He's America.
Yeah, exactly.
He's Captain America.
He is the best of what we could ever be.
Yeah. But I think also, yeah, again, coming from that philosophy of it was a simpler time, it was a clearer time, like I said, where we knew the difference between right and wrong.
Well, see,
and you always look to him for that kind of leadership. And that's why it'll be fun that there'll be chaos without him and without his guidance for things to be fucked up, and that's cool. That's great. And it does. It opens – and that's why I'm saying I do think it's going to be longer than 3 months because I think it opens the potential for a bunch of stories, and we're in the six-month story arc world. So it's going to – I mean, I hope Brubaker is able to achieve everything quicker and still in a very dense way, because he's a great storyteller.
It is Brubaker who, you know, like his first week at Marvel killed Foggy Nelson and Red Skull.
Right.
You know, and
don't forget
like,
Banshee.
No, and,
don't
and that's the thing. Both Daredevil.
Banshee stayed dead, at least.
No, I mean, Bendis had a great run on Daredevil, and Brubaker came in and really took the character to a different place and did things that
France.
Bendis wasn't. Truly, it's funny. You're being facetious.
There before.
You're being facetious, but I'm being serious. Bendis kept Daredevil on the streets in Hell's Kitchen where he belonged. Meanwhile, here comes Brubaker. Hey, put him in Europe. Fine. Hey, let's put him in jail. For, you know, Bendis saying, like, I want to put him in jail. Great. Gives me a good idea.
That's
first
what
story.
He did with Cap during Civil War. I think that's Brubaker's answer to everything.
My only trepidation
or kill him.
Is how they portrayed Cap in the Civil War main title and. Especially in the last issue of Frontline, which I don't know.
You know, like Sally Floyd's little.
That
bitch needs to
be. Do you know NASCAR? Do you know what MySpace is?
It's just like.
Who are you?
I kind of understand.
Have you ever gone to a NASCAR race?
Talk about a cynical bitch.
I've never been to a NASCAR race.
I've never been to NASCAR. I don't have a MySpace account.
Yes, you
do.
You have Around Comics.
They're going
to
bring him back by the movie.
Exactly. And that's, that was kind of my Fantastic Four point earlier.
It was
going to
be made in like the year 2020.
No, but then again,
he could
represent that ideal and still be this revered. Yeah, exactly.
Nah, he's not going to.
But I agree. I don't think so either.
First off, Brubaker, it's his favorite character, and he had planned this. I mean, he wrote this in like November or December, so he had this plan for a while. I don't think that was his initial thing. I'm going to write Cap for 6 months and then kill him.
No, I understand. It's been 2 years. It's been over 2 years.
Has it been that long?
Well, yeah, it's 20. It's issue 25, and plus he's had a few delays. So yeah, it's been like 3 years.
Even so, there's no way.
Oh, I understand. And he says he's got everything set up for the next 2 years.
This he said all week long that the story he's had this plan for a long time. The events of Civil War gave him an opportunity to move it up and tell a more compelling story. Steve Rogers is not going to stay dead.
Fine.
He's not going.
No, I agree.
Meanwhile, outside.
Funny, everything's locked up. But it doesn't make sense. The Avengers said they'd be here most of the night till the funeral tomorrow. Hey, what's that? Hydra, loading those bins into waiting cars. I don't know what it means, but I know I've got to follow them.
Slowly, silently, the grim motorized caravan makes its way through the fog-shrouded streets until...
Keep going. The gates are open.
They've stopped. This is my chance to take cover. But what if the Avengers are in those bins? I can't afford to wait any longer.
You'll wait, unless you want to get it right now.
Suddenly the scene is shattered by a nerve-searing roar of defiance as a dozen Hydra killers whirl about to see a high-powered motorcycle leaping from the crest of a hill. And as the thundering machine splays the marble and granite of battered tombstones in its path, a sinewy red, white, and blue thunderbolt on a mission of vengeance smashes into their midst. Captain America lives!
Don't just stand there, boy! Move!
Cap, it's you! You're alive!
He tricked us somehow, but now he will die for certain.
Guess again, creep!
After them! Nothing must stop us now! In the name of Hydra, they must be destroyed!
A man can be destroyed. A team or an army can be destroyed. But how do you destroy an ideal, a dream? How do you destroy a living symbol, or his indomitable will, his unquenchable spirit? Perhaps these are the thoughts which thunder within the murderous minds of those who have chosen the way of Hydra, of those who face the fighting fury of freedom's most fearless champion, the gallant red, white, and blue garbed figure who has been a towering source of inspiration to liberty lovers everywhere. How can the fearsome forces of evil ever hope to destroy the unconquerable Captain America?
What do you think of like all the? I love the editorials and how they represent the conservatives. It represents the weakness of the court system and blah blah blah. And then you got of course the liberals that it represents how scandalous our current administration
funny,
is.
When I started reading that stuff, I remember some interview with Brubaker and he was talking about. He doesn't really want to deal with politics so much with Cap because you can't, because everybody wants Cap to represent what they believe.
And he can.
And he can do that, but not if, you know, you can't, it's like, you can't, well, can't be a Republican. Can't,
right.
Is not a Democrat.
Well,
he's not a...
Well, you know, actually, I've always heard them refer to him as the New Deal Democrat.
Well, but not by whom? By Democrats.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Or by Republicans like that don't like him. You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say, it was Engelhardt. You're right. I guess Engelhardt is like... I was going for a guy who actually wrote Captain America, and
he's
like...
He's been written from a couple of different standpoints.
Yeah, he has.
You know.
Well, Mark, from the retailer perspective, what was Wednesday like for you?
It was like every other Wednesday.
No different?
No, I mean, except for the myriad amount of calls looking for Captain America
25.
Yeah, when
you
have Cap 25.
Everybody, I mean, I got a dozen. Oh, it was sold by the first hour and a half or so. And I had definitely ordered extra copies because it was a Civil War crossover, so I ordered extra for the people that, you know, have a problem. They have to buy every crossover.
Don't look at
which,
me like
it
that.
It works fantastic. No, I do the same thing. But it's, I did buy extra copies, so I actually had them till about 1. So for at least 2 hours,
but
I had them in my store.
You didn't see any extra traffic from it?
Not walking in. Started calling after about 3-4 o'clock.
Wow.
Started calling me
well,
every hour.
When I was at the shop, there was somebody that walked
in. I actually started answering the phone. Hello, Dark Tower Comics. No, I do not have any Captain America.
Oh.
And then they'd go. And every time I said it, though, it was always the first going, oh, okay, well, I was actually calling about this. So, yeah, really kind of backfired.
I represent a LARPing club, and I was hoping to rent out your space.
No, I was actually looking for Army of Darkness versus...
Well, Marvel Zombies. Got them. They're here.
We heard a lot of retailers, you know, a couple of different things. One, you know, obviously... a lot of retailers were upset because they had no forewarning, really. While Joe Q and different people at Marvel had been hinting in panels, I mean, that puts the onus on the retailer to really pay attention to everything.
Were stores in on the secrets
in
the day, or never?
They probably were a little more. It's hard to say, really. They probably weren't. I mean, this is the kind of thing that needs to happen to comics once in a great while. I mean, I was pissed off because I didn't have more copies of it to sell. Because, you know, I could have sold probably another 100 copies of that book that day. Or in the last 2-3 days, you know? Because I've gotten, every the last 3 days, I've gotten good 15-20 phone calls every day.
Well, also wasn't...
So, but it's the kind of thing that does have to happen to comics, because that's the whole thing. It's collectible. It's nice to have a book that...
Means something.
And, you know, everybody's running scared for it, and it's, you know, it needs to happen once in a while.
I mean, was it kind of a perfect storm? I mean, we've been talking about this all week.
They snuck right up on everybody. I'll give them that.
Wednesday was kind of a slow news day, and it seems like
unless, of course, you turned on the news. Everybody had it on.
Oh, yeah.
No, well, that's...
That's right.
There was nothing else going on. Marvel didn't... They didn't leak it out. Nobody knew this was coming. And then all of a sudden, you know, bam, Wednesday morning, CNN had it. And all of a sudden it's on the website, you know,
Yahoo's main page.
And Nightline had it as well. Joe Simon, 93 comments. It just snowballed.
And you know, I mean, my wife actually emailed me. I got to work, and I didn't even know it had happened. She knew before I did.
Don't you love
me
when, like, yeah, when like, like, you know, the non-comic fans are like, hey, did you see this?
Yeah.
My friend Lynn, who doesn't read comics or anything else, emailed me. I got home. There was an email from her like 10 o'clock that morning. I'm like, I get up, I shower, I leave. I don't watch any news. I don't look at papers. I don't listen.
Well, but that was sort of my question, though. Do you think, I mean, there was like two parts of the problem. One, they didn't warn anybody. But two, the story broke like first thing Wednesday morning in the major media. So you had all these people that don't
spoilers.
Maybe necessarily read comics or go into a comic shop running out and grabbing these copies before anybody even knew what was going on.
Was that really happening? Do you think there were speculators out there with sticky fingers doing that
until later in the day? I can say all my copies.
I don't know, man. The extra copies I have went to my regular guys.
How were you sold out?
My regular guys. The guys that
just
don't even buy Captain America normally.
By 1 o'clock?
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of guys in the mornings. A lot of early. I get
early birds.
Basically, till about between 11 and 2:30, 3 o'clock, I have a rush, and then it's like between 3 and 5, it's quiet, and then it starts again.
Afterwork.
So, yeah, and that's after, during the second rush, that's when I started getting the phone calls.
Many of your overnight third shifters are comic fans, and they're in the morning getting your fix.
You know, the odd people just walking in that I've never seen before, and they do the kind of once around the store, and I'll usually ask them, you know, anything you're looking for, and,
"Oh, you wouldn't have a Cap 25, would you?" I said, "No, no, I'd like to have them."
Well, then there was the freaky guy that came in and coughed all over the
Yeah,
comics.
We were standing there. He pretty much scared all my customers away. He just came walked around the store, who I've never seen. I'm sure that's why he was in the store to begin with. And proceeded to cough on every comic I had.
Nice.
So I like
nice.
Set a bomb off last night to disinfect the store.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm sorry.
No, probably got to go where Mark was like,
Sir,
you're hocking on my Teen Titans.
Can you leave?
Yeah, I just told the guy, because he could just watch it. He's not covered his mouth. I just told him to cover his freaking mouth. So
well,
they did.
You heard a lot of retailers complain because they didn't have any forewarning. And initially, Marvel's response was, well, we didn't expect this kind of response. We didn't, you know, they, you know, but then.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, I know. But then
yeah,
we
released it to all the news.
Exactly. Who planted all the news
anything.
Stories, man?
Then,
come
and
on.
And then we find out 2 days later that they did this massive overprint of the book.
That was smart.
Yeah,
we weren't expecting anything.
Well, okay. This is.
It's
marketing, in promotion, you can't guarantee media response. And okay,
true enough.
If you kill one of the top five characters in comic books,
you can pretty much get.
Come on, man. We've been on Orange Alert since 9/11, and you're killing Captain America.
So why did Marvel do it the way they did it?
Well, otherwise,
to create the buzz of it's sold out everywhere.
Yes,
and
otherwise it would have leaked.
Right.
I mean, if they would have told you,
you
would have told somebody,
and
it would have leaked.
They were truly trying to get it past the radar. I mean, they did it.
But why?
I think to make what happened Wednesday. Every news story. It was the top story everywhere in the fucking planet.
Is it so bad that
Captain America died?
Is it so bad that we have a surprise once in a while?
No, not at all.
I get a surprise. And they set it up. I mean, they did it. It seems like they did it pretty damn perfect.
And I think
they finally made it so that we were actually surprised by something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's pretty fucking refreshing.
You know what's great?
I agree with that.
I was interviewing Jeff Loeb last Sunday from WonderCon. And he was talking about Fallen Son and couldn't reveal who the catalyst of Fallen Son, who dies and creates the event. And he was talking around it, and it just became this interview that went on more days than just one day. And finally on Tuesday we were talking about it, and I said, you know, dude, do you want – I'm like, if what we're talking about is going to be irrelevant after this death – should I call Marvel and ask them, you know, when you can talk about it more? And he's like, yeah, if you don't mind. So I called Jim McCann, the marketing director, and he said, yeah, after Wednesday, he goes, everything's fair game. And I said, okay, fine. So we scheduled to talk more on Thursday and Friday. But it sounds like Straczynski is the guy who kind of said, according to them, in the Civil War meetings, Brubaker brought up Cap's death. And it'll be interesting to hear Brubaker's side of the story when he's on with you guys. And Straczynski said, you're just going to do it in Cap. You're not going to do anything around it. That's crazy. And he's like, you know, and he's the one who kind of came up with the idea for Fallen Son. And Jeff Loeb, because of the problems and the tragedy of losing his son, said, because Fallen Son represents the five phases that we go through from somebody dying eventually to accepting the death. And,
did
you know, yeah,
grief,
you know, anger, bargaining, everything. And Jeff is like, I've been living that with my son's death for 2 years. Please let me do this story. And Straczynski gave it to him. So we'll see how, you know, we'll see how Fallen Son works out. And it's going to be, you know, the Marvel Universe reacting to Cap's death, obviously.
Well, we've had the initial hit here.
Is he alive?
And it was actually, it was very exciting the entire week to see how this, you know, unfolded in the national media. And as comic fans, it's kind of nice to get that attention. Now that's going to recede, and we're going to be left here as the comic fans.
Here's the story.
And to deal with the aftermath. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Marvel handles this. Are they going to milk it for
right?
You know, how
what's
long?
What's the right length exactly?
One
and
issue.
That's what I was saying earlier.
I was reading.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me.
He better be alive next issue.
No. It was a weird.
Well,
he's
still alive. They didn't kill him.
Well, I saw in the.
He's not dead.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the thing about that last image in the body bag. The eye is open. Is he alive or, you know? I mean, that's
well, did you read the initiative? Spoilers.
No.
They said he's still alive.
But I heard that was a.
Captain America's dead. He's not dead.
I read the script.
What do you know? It's a super soldier, sir. Who knows?
If you go to Leonard Kirk's art blog, he'll tell you Captain America is alive and well in the Marvel Adventures line.
Aha.
Well, I read the I don't know what interview it was that Brubaker did, but one of the print interviews he did, he actually posted a part of that page, the script from it, because they asked the same question. It's like, what did, you know?
Okay.
Was that art? You know, was the artwork done by Epting? Did he make that decision? And so he printed, you know, reprinted the script, and it was, I mean, it was.
The description was?
The description was, you know, his lifeless eye, his dead eye.
Oh,
know,
okay.
So whatever that means. I don't know if it means anything, but for whatever. Yeah. Who knows? But anyway, what I was talking about, where somebody sent me, it was somebody had done, like, an audio book of Captain America 113, which is The Strange Death of Captain America.
Okay.
Where he died.
Oh, was that the Steranko run?
No.
Where Hydra assassinates
him? Yeah,
you're right. Yeah.
And it's like he dies and comes back in the same
Cap
issue.
Lives.
You know, yeah. It's just like at one issue he's dead, and then he's back, you know, back alive. But I don't think that's going to
Well, they shot. What happened was, yeah, they shot Cap, and then they fished out a mask.
Yeah.
Of Steve Rogers, saying he never really was, you know, Steve Rogers, and it, you know, maybe
trying to hide his identity.
Right.
Protect his identity. But
I've got a dumb question.
He'll be back.
As long as
it's a dumb question.
Is Captain America the series? Is that like? Did they say, okay, we've actually ended this and you can get your dollars?
No,
the story will continue.
Is already, 26 is solicited already.
But remember, I liked when they did that with Superman, where they when the death of Superman happened, and they continued it for like 4 months, dealing with the funeral for a friend, and just that whole, that was what it was called, as I remember the story.
I still have those.
And I remember the Superman story.
I actually liked the following to Superman's death more than the actual death.
Well, yeah,
the reign of Superman and then
sure.
The funeral,
but even before
for a friend, those were actually much better books.
It was when
before they got to those four guys, they took that time off, and it ended with Jonathan Kent having a heart attack.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, what's next? And it was great because I remember this doofus that was running the local store that I used to go to, and I'm like,
Mark Beatty.
And his name was Mark. No, not at all. It was not Mark. But no, I'm like, so when's the next issue? He's like, no, that's the end. That's the end of the book.
That's it. It's over.
And I'm like, fuck you. I know that it's coming back, and like, it's fucking Superman. It's not the end.
Well,
so
they,
I mean,
you know,
it would be fun if they did that for a while. As much as I'd love to see, I want Brubaker to do the
so
story
well
immediately.
Thor.
One of the funny,
no shit, or Captain Marvel for that matter too. Captain Marvel's alive. Why? How? Well, we'll show you in about 6 months.
By the way,
okay, thanks.
This is an
off. How? Why?
Slightly off the cap thing just for 1 second because he said the Civil War. Did anybody notice when Hercules shoved that hammer right through his freaking head? Didn't really look very clonish, did he?
But they always said it was a cyborg.
They
refer to it as a cyborg. Partially clone, partially cyborg.
Okay.
He is Klor.
Still, that was a sweet shot, though.
I love Klor.
Klor.
And Klor will be coming
back,
apparently.
One of the funny things I saw perusing about you know, all the people yelling and bitching and screaming about Captain America's death, there was one guy who, I think it was on the engine, and he said what it reminded him of was, or everybody kept emailing him about the death of Captain America, and he said, yeah, he thought, you know, what's the difference between a comic book fan and a lab rat? If you drop a lab rat in a cage with electrified cheese, sooner or later that lab rat will figure out not to touch the electrified cheese.
Sure.
And with,
yeah, but it's a new generation. I mean, that's the thing. When they do something like this, it's always a bunch of new young readers and stuff. And that's why it's like, okay, fine. It's the journey. It's not the destination. We know where they're going to end up. Steve Rogers will be back. Let's see how they get.
Yeah, well,
you know,
that's the whole point. It's like,
that's the trick.
Enjoy the journey.
I sort of liken it to Heroes. I mean, I know it's stupid, and I bitch about it every week.
Fun.
See, what do you bitch about?
It's fun, so I watch it. As long as Cap's thing remains fun, the people
will
like it.
And it will, because Brubaker's done a great job with Cap.
I think the initial players have already emerged. Certainly the people that were in Cap 25, Sharon Carter's got to freak out and find out exactly what, you know, made her do it.
Was the Sam Wilson Bucky moment just awesome?
Sure. Oh. Absolutely. Every Bucky moment has been awesome since he's been unthought. I think I love Bucky. I think Brubaker has a great handle on it. But also Brubaker's Punisher has been fantastic. He was great in Daredevil, and obviously there's a reason why he picked up that mask at the end of Civil War 7, and I think you can count on Frank Castle as Captain America for a while and get a very Reagan as Captain America.
That's going to be interesting.
So, you know. Well, Frank Miller did Captain America in Daredevil. Brubaker, you know, how the Punisher was an important part of that Daredevil in jail story, if you remember.
Yes,
I'm completely intrigued. I want to find out what happens. I mean,
that's going to be fun.
Frank can't ask for a whole lot in America.
Obviously, Fury was planning on something get Cap out.
You know,
who's to say that that's not part of the plan as well? Exactly.
Chris
thinks it's an LMD.
It's an LMD.
It's not an LMD.
I said that.
Now we find out what happened.
Steve Rogers that was shot.
He does that
all
the time. It's not an LMD.
That's
an LMD.
That's
not
fun.
An LMD.
It's one of Fury's LMDs.
It'll be the Cosmic Cube or something.
That's true too. Lucian still has the Cosmic Cube.
It'll be something.
Russian general.
See, that's the interesting thing.
Scarlet Witch all the way.
Scarlet Witch.
Yes, Hex Magic. Chaos coming.
I did think about that. You know, it's like because Luskin and the Red Skull were planning, the assassination, but.
Yes.
You know, it's like they had Crossbones out there in the helicopter with a sniper rifle. They shoot him in the shoulder. But then they had Sharon there to shoot him in the gut, too?
Well, that's the thing. I almost believe the remember isn't really a remember. I'm wondering if
it's an
implanted
memory
rather
really
than
didn't.
A repressed memory. That's what I think.
Hey,
but
there
who knows?
Go, there you go. Could be.
I mean, it's...
It'll be fun to presume
anything, I think, that's...
It'll be fun to find out.
Exactly. I have full faith in Brubaker.
Brubaker does some of the best sleight of hand writing out there. And he will distract you over here, and then you're going to be like, oh.
It was Hulkling.
What if it was really Tony Stark?
It was Hulkling.
Yeah, it was really Tony
Stark. Tony
Stark.
Yeah, look at me.
Oh,
who
man.
Knows?
Well, and I'm now the confession. Now we wonder what Bendis's confession is about. Because I assume the confession was going to be some conversation between Tony and
crossover
shit. Yeah, you wonder. Get off on another tangent.
Civil War out.
Burnt out.
I understand, but it's like now it's funny. I mean, like much like the assassination of Captain America. Okay, now the war's over. What does it mean? Cap is dead. What does it mean? That's the next chapter in the Marvel
Universe. This is going to be the next Iron America.
Fukusan.
A fascist Iron Man starts to take over America slowly. Well,
all right.
Slowly, apparently.
Colbert was very funny.
That was funny.
Yes, and it's on Comedy Central if you haven't
seen
it.
Yeah, you can see it on there. It was pretty
But
good.
He's always been, always had good comic book references in the Colbert Report. And it was funny that he tied in his Quesada's appearance last year.
How he tied in that Fox, the Fox guys. It's like, did you guys say? You can't kill Captain America at a time of war. And he was completely serious. Right-wing Fox News.
Michael Medved, who is a radio conservative and is on Salem Broadcasting nationally, had written this really nasty review of the John Ray Nyber Cap that it was going on in 9/11 and stuff. And I think it is red meat for conservatives to either point to the deficiencies of. I read one guy saying that it was the weakness of the courts and stuff, and it was all symbolic on the weaknesses of the courts that Cap is dead.
Well, I mean, John's version of that's why I was talking earlier about, like, I mean, Cap's been written from different viewpoints. He's not just any one thing,
Sure.
Whether or not that was successful or not. Definitely he has been represented as having a conscience. He's not stupid and, stuck in a groove or anything,
Well, that's like we said before. He can represent, pretty much anyone's perspective, depending on how you look at it. But
matters on who's writing him, which way he swings.
Pretty much,
Hello.
I think he's always had a certain nostalgic sensibility to it, like you were saying earlier, John. A time with a little
New Deal Democrat, FDR Democrat.
He's Ben Franklin in chainmail.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, either way, that's the viewpoint.
I just invented a stove.
He's the ultimate view of what we Americans think we should be,
or what Americans should be. Yeah,
we never have been, or
it's something we've never
quite
never
you know.
Have been,
it's just interesting because I remember some great what ifs back in the day when. They had a what if Cap were thought out today, and in fact, Dave Gibbons did one a couple years ago as well, but. The whole point was it was the 50s Captain America that gets thought out, the communist Captain America. They're the red, the one that went after communists that was crazy. And he supported a lot of – there was a Patriot Act in that story. And there were a lot of tropes that were very reminiscent of what's going on today in terms of the freedoms that have been, you know, suppressed because of 9/11, with the explanation of that. And, you know, the whole idea that we need more, you know, registration, a citizen's registration as opposed to a hero's registration.
Right. McCarthy-friendly.
Yeah,
Cap.
And then suddenly Cap is thawed out to this world that is an America under martial law. And it was, you know.
I just got a text message from Tom.
Yes.
He just wanted to let everyone know that his top of the stack is criminal.
All right. It doesn't matter because you're not here.
Is it time? Should we move on to?
Have we exhausted the depth?
Have we killed Steve Rogers again?
You can't exhaust that. It's endless material.
It's just time
to move on.
It'll be exhausted by about
Saturday
June,
afternoon.
July.
I'm a big Sin fan too, by the way. Not only Crossbones.
Sin's
awesome. I like Sin as well. Dirty little girl.
You know, he got a lot of shit for that character, for that comeback.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Why?
In his letter column, some guy and he kept writing back and forth with the guy. He attacked Brubaker because he said it was very misogynistic and the whole, you know, sort of raping of her mind.
Okay.
And
torturing her.
And he to his credit, he printed the letter and
That's
responded
fine.
To it. And the guy wrote back again, and he did it the next month. He responded to it again and you know, tried to explain everything and how he felt about it and everything. But
I want to say my one thing I really enjoyed, I have to say, for some reason, was Bucky kicking the shit out of Crossbones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he hit the ground and everything else, I was just waiting for that fight because I'm like, he's going to beat the shit out of Crossbones.
He was going to kill
Crossbones.
Oh, so deserves
it. He always gets away.
If Sam Wilson
you know,
hadn't
happened,
come
Cap
on
gets
the scene,
vertigo all
he
of a sudden.
Kill him.
Sure. No, but that's the great thing about Bucky thought out. Bucky's a badass, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great.
With a bionic arm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's
no,
like
I'm a
Misty Knight without the boobs.
He's
it's
cable.
Amazing.
And I love the fact too that despite being called the Winter Soldier, everyone's still Bucky. You can't do that.
All right, well, let's go. Well, before we finish with Cap, let's go around the room and like give your prediction of how they're going to bring Cap back. We all agree that they're going to bring him back, right?
Yeah.
All right. So any prediction, anything, anybody
Chris?
Got a
like,
prediction?
Like story wise or
well,
anything?
Just basic
anything.
You know, just whatever. Got anything? Any ideas?
Well, it turns out he's been hiding out in a brothel for the past.
Yeah, really.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm trying to fill him for Tom.
Nobody can fill those cater shoes.
I
those
think
size
Cap
11s.
Will be really interesting.
All right, maybe it was a bad idea.
No,
maybe
I
a bad idea. Sorry.
I'm sure Fury's Allen. Behind it, and I'm sure Fury's going to be one of the ways that Cap is going
to
come back.
I have no idea. I know they're going to bring him back, and I'm curious to see what happens.
Something's going to happen. So it'll be a very
someone's going to try and lift Cap's shield.
Version, you know, where the, whoever is doing Cap does such horrendous things that he somehow comes back to save the day.
Maybe
probably,
Cap
or,
never came back. Maybe
maybe
he was a clone and now they're going to dethaw him.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Maybe it's
they can totally
maybe it's been the Red Skull the whole time.
They can totally reset Cap right now.
I think Captain Marvel's going to go back in time and grab
I think they're
going to
do a year.
And bring him back with them.
They're going to do a year one.
He's going to work at the raft.
I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting that Cap really does die, and had they not used Captain Marvel in this man from a different time, that would have been interesting to have a younger version of Cap who knows he's going to die but is living on borrowed time and represents this spirit of liberty and everything. That,
Captain
that,
Marvel
that
America.
Occurred to me today, and then, of course, I sobered up. So
too much thought.
Yeah. But no, I did. I thought of that. I'm like, that would have been interesting.
Chris, I think this was Fury's plan to...
All along?
It's an LMD that... You know,
oh,
Steve,
stop with
Steve.
The LMD.
It's not an LMD.
Not a
life
model
you.
Dumbass.
It's an LTD, actually. That's been reconstituted to look like
it's
Captain
a T-Bird.
America.
I miss my friend.
But,
LTD.
You know, whether it's...
Who sang for LTD? Wasn't it...
I'm talking about the car.
Yeah, I know. And the band, though, too.
There was a whether
band.
It's an LMD or not, I just thought that was kind of funny because I like thinking of...
Because
you
stole it for Mark?
I did not steal it.
My ass on Wednesday. I'm the guy who brought it up. We were having a big conversation about it, and I did that. I had already.
He steals shit from
now
me
he
all
doesn't
the
remember.
Time.
You notice this? Thought stealer.
So, yeah, Fury's behind it. That's
what I think, too.
I think it's a combination cosmic cube time travel.
Definitely an LMD. Definitely an LMD.
It's over, Cap. You've beaten them. We've won.
The battle is never ended, Rick. There will be others to take her place.
But what about you? I saw the Hydra bullets hit you when you dove into the river.
It's what I wanted them to see. I had to make them think Steve Rogers was dead. When they captured you, I realized how vulnerable you were. because it was no secret that Captain America and Steve Rogers were one and the same. The only way to stop us from always being sitting ducks was to convince the world that Captain America is not Steve Rogers. That's the reason I inflated a rubberized figure dressed in my own helmet and shirt. It was that figure wearing a Steve Rogers face mask which you saw fired upon in Hit. And now, though the world will realize that Captain America still lives, none can be sure who is the man beneath the mask. And so, Captain America has a secret identity once more.
All right, guys. That is going to take care of our wire-to-wire comic news and our special Captain America discussion.
So I'm going to give Chris a countdown.
In three.
Top of
Sal?
Yes.
Shopping around comics?
Shopping around comics. We have all sorts of stuff you can shop for there. Our Cafe Press store, our Amazon store, our...
That's good description.
He's really got it memorized.
Yeah, shop.
We got stuff. We have things at the around comics.
Things. People know.
.com.
If you don't know, ask somebody that does.
The hotline.
You would think, wouldn't you?
It would be different ambiance.
I don't have that kind of
tell people about the hotline.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail. We'll probably play it on the show or save it for...
Like this person did.
Hey, I like listening to Around Comics a lot, and you guys are really funny. And I just wanted to talk about Cap dying. I really thought it was a shame, and I'm kind of feeling alone right now. So, it's nice that you guys are around, and it makes me feel like I'm not so alone. Okay. Thank you.
And it wasn't an LMD.
Yeah.
And I think Chris's LMD theory is fucked up. But
I wish somebody would send us a voicemail. Like
what's always good? It's always good to hear from Vince B.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, all right.
Vince B. Poor Vince B.
Not Vince B. Unless you go. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, that'll take care of our news and mid-show announcements. That means it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the stack.
That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week.
Yes.
Mr. Caters.
Isn't here.
He picked Criminal.
That's right. Okay, my book is... He picked Criminal, obviously.
Well, he picked Criminal.
Apparently it was okay. Now, next.
Nice. John, what you got?
Cut off Tom because he's not here.
I'm going to go with Justice League number 6, which wraps up Brad Meltzer's first arc.
Very nice.
Red Tornado story. I thought it was a great ending. I'm still up in the air as far as the new league, but I'm willing to give them all a shot, and they did work together in this final issue.
It's the first time you saw them work together as a team, which was cool.
And, you know, Ed Bennis can draw a very gorgeous Vixen, which to me was always like the weak link of that team. So.
Question about that. Two questions. One, how long is Meltzer on
till issue 12? It'll be 13 12. Issues, okay. But remember, it started with a zero issue.
Second question, the scene at the end where they take on
Amazo,
and mm-hmm. he's talking about, you know, how they work together, they've planned that. Wasn't that used, didn't he write that, like, almost exact scene somewhere else? I swear, when I read it,
I don't remember
it, like,
reading Meltzer have Amazo.
It wasn't Amazo.
Oh, you mean Deathstroke in the Identity Crisis?
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. When they fought Deathstroke,
I think so,
it was almost like the kind of the same scene. I mean, it didn't.
I guess.
I was like, wow, that sounded really familiar.
I don't know. I like the way Brad writes team books. I think
I've enjoyed JLA.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot.
The scene where Batman and Hal are cutting Amazo's legs off, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, no,
it was so
I love,
cool.
It wasn't nearly as good as Dead Man getting
the arc is over.
Red Tornado getting his arm ripped off by Solomon Grundy, which was
shocking. It was it's the best Red Tornado story. I mean, I can't think of a better Red Tornado story.
Definitive Red Tornado story.
Yeah,
now.
And I like Roy in the league. I think that's cool. I have good hope that Black Lightning is there. Geo-Force is not making these cameos for just to be there and to get a new. A new costume, so I imagine he's going to figure into the next story. And also coming up, I guess, is the tie-ins with Justice Society. So he and Johns will be working in concert for the next few issues. So I loved it.
Good right. stuff.
Mr. Beatty?
Reading anything?
Somebody else. I'm behind by a week. Is that a problem? But I read No, no, I went to Mesa. I was in Arizona, so I didn't get to read my books before.
How'd those Cubs do against my Sox?
Yeah, how'd that Cubs Sox
Yeah, that was fucking fantastic. It's spring training.
You never.
Shut up. You guys are like 2-5 with it at that time.
Monday.
You won two games. We won one.
Monday, I sent Mark an email. It just said, how was your Sunday?
Let's try to remember Detroit lost 80% of their spring training games.
Yeah, they're going to get a lot better.
Games, so shut the fuck up.
Wait, Detroit.
Who the hell was it?
Oh, wait a minute. If it was
DB Cebulski was going to destroy my phone,
that's right.
Fuck you, pal.
If it was 3 days,
Detroit, who made it to the World Series but got beat by the Cardinals.
Jeremy,
Detroit,
he Clay Moore.
Oh, Clay, yeah, Clay's a huge Sox fan.
You know,
that's
you guys
isn't that funny?
It was, Detroit didn't just fall apart or anything.
It was beat Clay
great,
Moore.
The greatest.
Yeah, Clay Moore was.
Oh,
gonna,
yeah.
Clay Moore was going to destroy your phone, buddy.
Well, Mark, if it was the other way around and the Cubs had beat the Sox 13-2, you think you wouldn't have said shit?
No, I would have been.
Oh, your ass!
I would have been a gentleman and not
just
said
so
a word about
shit.
It.
Well, if that ever
and,
happens,
besides that, there's
we'll
a second
see,
game coming up at the end of the season. Maybe we'll try to win that one.
Well, there
you go.
Spring training,
yeah.
Well, anyway, did you read anything good?
I read Cap 25,
which was very good.
Which I have to say it was,
yeah, it was
excellent.
It was my favorite.
I know
book
we've
of
already
the week.
Talked enough about it,
yeah.
But it really, I'm not going to go too much. It was a really good read. Period.
Even if
all the news and everything else, but I just read that book. I mean, right till the end, you got to that last page, and it was shit.
Yeah.
You know, so
I was tearing
I really
up
enjoyed
up
it,
that
even
point.
Though I'd already heard
I was
from a million people. Oh, Cap's dead. Cap's dead. First customer in the door. Hey, I hear Cap dies. Like fucker. Come on. I haven't read the book yet. So I read it that. I had to read it that day. But it was really really good. If you haven't read it. And you're not willing to spend the bucks coming up. They've already said there's a second printing because the overprint is already sold out.
Sold out.
Sure.
Wow.
I can just tell you that it was sold out yesterday by the afternoon.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Okay, as soon
how
as they said it,
get?
We all of us, everybody that got a reorder in early, and
question.
You had to get it in by like basically Wednesday afternoon or Thursday at like noon.
How did that work exactly as far as
they're
ordering the overprint?
You basically if you had put a reorder in by 12 o'clock noon on Thursday. You were basically guaranteed your reorder.
Oh, okay.
So,
which you did.
Which we did, yeah. I got it in early. I said, fuck it, I'll just put it on back order and hope for the best. Maybe I'll get a couple copies, you know, to fill some orders from my regular customers. And then that whole thing happened, and it's like, they've been planning that thing the whole time.
Yeah.
So.
Because you're going to get those next week, right? Thursday, they said?
I should get them next week. Actually, most stores won't get them for 2 weeks. I'm having them dropped.
Now, are yours sold already? I mean, are those all spoken for already?
I got a list of my customers, like regular guys, my regular customers who I told them, I go, as long as I get them, they get them for cover.
Are you getting any of the variant edition?
As long
edition?
As my regular pull box guys.
Is there a variant edition for the overstock?
Yeah, is there a variant edition?
It's not a variant edition. It's just a regular, same cover.
There's just
covers.
The one cover.
Well, yeah,
that's what I mean. Are you getting any of the variant editions in the overprint?
So there was
Eptinger, or was it only 50, one?
It is
50-50. Okay.
Yeah, you'll get both of them. So.
I just want to let people know because, like, we were talking
about.
There
was two covers. There was one by
Ed
McGinnis, right?
Ed McGinnis.
Has he always signed his stuff edicts?
I know. I didn't know who it was until
that threw me off. I'm like,
it's
Dexter or something. So maybe that's
Hey, Mark, can you mark me down for a McGinnis cover?
Sure. Yeah, as soon as I get him, I'll
yeah, me too. I want to see the Epting cover.
Fuck the rest of you now.
No, but I have a McGinnis cover.
No, the reason I asked is because I know, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, is that you know you went on eBay over the last day and a half, and the prices on these were astronomical.
At first, we're talking about earlier was that they were going for upwards of $100 a piece for these things.
Ridiculous.
Or basically $100 for the pair. They were selling them as pairs always. So basically $50-$60 a piece on these books.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's dropped down. I know a friend of mine who did it who actually he went and sold about 75 copies for $20 a piece on eBay. And just
because
he knew his reorder was coming in. He just put them on eBay. He put a big sale.
I just wanted to let people know so that they don't go out and try
bucks.
And you know and have to spend $100 to get the copy.
I
prefer
I'm
the Epting cover
right now,
to the
if
McGinnis
you're
cover.
You're waiting. Just wait. I mean, literally,
you're gonna be able to get a hand.
It's a heroic shot.
Besides that, even if you just really want to read it, you don't really care about the first printing.
They'll reprint it.
They're going to charge you a little bit more. Doesn't matter. They're going to charge a little bit more for the most part.
Bastards.
But there's a second printing coming out. They've already talked. My rep already told me. She goes. She said, your order's filled. There are second printings coming, too, so
third
don't worry
about
it.
They want everyone in.
On this.
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, now there's the Los Angeles cover, though, too.
What the hell
is
that?
Which I saw, if it's the cover I saw, it's basically, it's an old John Cassidy drawing that he drew back, 4, 5, 6 years ago, And they put it on the cover for the Los Angeles Wizard Edition.
Sold
for like $120 online.
One
went for $120.
Oh, I guess this
and
is
all
probably
you
a decent time to mention it. We you had mentioned it earlier, John, but on the Friday the 23rd, we're going to be talking
about with Ed Brubaker, yeah.
So that'll be for the following Thursday. So,
but we're not talking about Capitol.
Ed Brubaker and the Brubaker.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
We're talking criminal only. Right? Yeah, criminal only. He said he'd come on, but it was criminal only. He wouldn't talk about Capitol.
You're going to ask him what he had for breakfast and stuff
so
like
we'll,
that.
Yeah,
we're not even talking
comics. We'll probably get a thread about that up a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I confirmed that with him twice, so he said he was all,
so
yeah,
if
absolutely.
You have, if you
I'm
have
sure you'll probably
questions.
Hear enough about Ed in the next 3 weeks
before
that.
Ed will be making the tour. Yeah, it'll be making.
I'm just waiting to see.
But I'll give you guys.
I'm just waiting to see
I won't
who.
Bug him. Don't worry. I won't bug him until after you, boys.
I just want to see who Brubaker kills in the Iron Fist book. He's managed to kill somebody in every book he's written.
Danny Rand,
Banshee,
Danny
and
Danny Rand.
No, you can't kill
Daredevil.
He's going to kill
Cap
Luke Cage
himself, and
he could kill
Captain
Danny
America.
Rand.
So who's
his dad
he?
Back.
Christ, he's going to kill Luke Cage.
How many
Sweet
books
Christmas.
Is this guy writing?
Sweet
and Danny's already died once.
He's writing 3 main books.
Yeah, but that was real bad.
And plus Criminal. So he's got 4 main books.
Well, he's
nice. Co-writing with Fraction.
And co-writing Punisher War Journal.
No. He's co-writing
Iron
Fist with Fraction.
Co-writing
Iron
Fist.
Oh, it is Iron Fist. Okay.
He's just he's plotting and he's co-plotting with.
Criminal.
No longer the X-Men?
No,
Uncanny.
He's doing
Uncanny.
He's doing Uncanny.
Okay. That man's a friggin' workhorse.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And you know
yeah,
what? He
good.
Doesn't spread his stories out like Bendis does when he writes too many titles.
Oh.
Bendis
thing.
Wow.
Damn, man.
Get that Bendis.
The guy's
really getting
killed here.
All right, Dave.
I love
Dave.
You didn't read nothing?
Dave doesn't actually
Dave's
read comics, I was told a few minutes ago. Yeah. So
he doesn't read comics.
I don't read them, I draw them. That's
only
his
makes
stance.
He does.
No, I don't like comics. No, the comic, you got it right there. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I guess we can...
Yeah, what about Cranks?
I like Cranks.
Let's hear Cranks.
I'm a little behind on current stuff, but... Well, except for actually,
showcase 114.
This sounds like a plug just because I work there, but it really isn't. But the new G.I. Joe 21 just came out.
Mm-hmm.
New creative team, new writer, new artist, all that jazz.
Simon issue?
No.
Oh,
no, we've done that. Anyway,
they kill Snake Eyes.
Yes.
Who's the creator?
He was shot by it. No. It's Mark Powers writing. Mark Powers used to work for Marvel. He was our editor for a while. He was an editor for Marvel, too, like back in the day, X-Books, stuff like that. But it's, really good. That's
is this the Brazil?
I don't know what to say about
that. That's not the Special Forces Brazil
yeah.
story.
No, this is the main line. Yeah.
Okay.
This is,
G.I. Joe, is 12 inches tall with kung fu grip, not
3
inches tall.
No, I have the same, and I've talked about this before. It's like anything that's like based on something else, you know, whether it's video games or movies or licensed properties, I don't get into for some reason.
Unless it's
but
two
I have
Space Knight and Micronauts.
Well, there you go.
Sure.
I love ROM and Micronauts
books.
Micronauts
is
great. But I'll tell you what, those G.I. Joe books are really well done. The art in them is usually fantastic.
And they have good writers on those books.
Yeah, good writers on those books. I mean, it's just not something I'm into.
Claymore, Joe Casey. Great
they
guys
are,
of
they
the
are
guys
well,
of
no,
all
I know that sounds bad, like coming from somebody who works there, but like I wasn't really into Joe Casey's run very
yeah.
much. It just wasn't my thing, you know. It's got for me, it's just come around more to being a little tighter, I guess,
uh-huh.
with Mark and that, and it seems really cool.
So I'm
curious to see where he takes it, and I'm behind at work too, so I don't read ahead anymore.
Right,
so I'm catching up to this stuff as it comes out. You know,
it looks great,
but
I was kind of surprised because yeah, you do kind of almost think like because it's G.I. Joe you think it's going to be more cartoonish or cartoon you know
yeah.
but it's not. I mean they're good stuff. So.
The other thing I want to talk about is again because I'm not like really caught up right now. I'm mm-hmm. kind of behind. But it's this old book that I got through editing Pullbox stuff.
Based on a cartoon Thundercats. Have you guys heard of it before?
No, this one's it's a book from a Philippines company called Nautilus Comics. And they, it's a book called Cast. The whole thing is about a bunch of high school kids that are signed up for a play of King Arthur.
Okay.
And
break your leg and they're in cast?
No, the cast of
cast
the play.
Cast of the play.
Yeah, you with me now? All right.
Real quick.
Play cast, right?
But it
takes a while for the blood to get to his brain.
It does. It's a long way up.
But it's a very nice, like... I don't know. It's sort of a Dawson's Creek kind of thing, I guess. Like a slice of life.
That
high
makes me
kids,
want to read it
you know?
Right there. That,
but some people
that,
might.
Who plays? Who does the Katie Holmes? Crooked Eye Katie.
I don't know. Crooked Maybe this character named Lil, but I'm not sure. It's sort of manga-ish, I guess. But yeah, it's Philippines-based, so you know, they have that sort of
right
influence right there. But it, it's Creek. A really
Shut
good
up.
Story. It's a really good story. That's all I'm saying. I'm about four issues.
Who puts it out, though?
It was this book called, or this company called Nautilus Comics. It came out, came out actually in like 2001.
I've seen that.
Or something
company,
like that.
Actually.
2001, 2002.
It's called Cast.
Okay,
somewhere around
business
there.
Anymore, are they? Or they Plural? Just do,
no, they're still
just
working.
Just still manga stuff.
Well, they do like anthologies and stuff like that. And but they're Philippines based, so they do a lot of like regional kind of stuff, I guess. And but it's just a really good story. We're putting it up online now on Pullbox, and like so you can catch up if you want. You know, if you can't find back issues,
you guys
locally,
are really adding
whatever.
To the library there. I've noticed.
We're trying. Yeah, I mean we're trying to like expand the selection so it's you know. Diverse, like I said.
Yeah, full service.
Mean,
yeah.
This is very not superhero, not anything. So
you,
you would
have
only
any
read this.
Diverse
yeah.
books like Scar Tissue. On your I've been asked to ask. You know, because that would really round out the library.
Dingus.
We've already talked about this.
Dingus.
And Dingus
anyway.
To you.
And we can can always edit this out. But Ape Entertainment.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, we're trying to. It's just it's you know, like I said, Josh is out of town and things and doing stuff, and it's everybody's busy. So,
yeah. so we love our guys at Ape Entertainment. So
but
we'd love to see them.
I like them.
So yeah, but I really I recommend
word.
Cast if you like a good story.
You throw
very
comfortable with
you throw that. Word
yeah, really.
Out.
We just like to lay you down and
that.
Kiss you all over.
Like,
and you know.
Well,
he was talking about a guy on one of these cooking shows that he loved. I'm like, dude, isn't that kind of strong for a guy you watch on TV?
Who?
Alton Brown.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank
He's
going to
be at Crate and Barrel tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Fantastic.
I love Justin Wilson. I don't care if he wasn't actually Cajun.
I remember him, the Cajun, Raging Cajun.
Well, Sal, what book did you love this week?
Well, I, you know, Cap was certainly probably the favorite book that I read, but I wanted to pick something other than that, obviously. I read a book, I think it was come out, I don't have it in front of me, I forgot to bring it in, The Crank Cave, but it was from Image. It's by Jay Faber, who did Small Gods.
Dynamo 5?
And,
yeah,
Dynamo 5.
Yeah. Dynamo 5 is
he
a fine book.
Noble Causes.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know who did the artist on it. Do you know?
I did just interview Jay.
Do you know who did the art on it by chance?
No.
Oh, in Dynamo 5?
Yeah.
It's a gentleman from Turkey, and I can't, and unfortunately I cannot pronounce his name. But he's got a very cool mainstream
yeah,
style.
Definitely. Basically, it's a story about a woman who is a widow to like this planet's
Superman.
Greatest superhero. Yeah, Superman, basically. He dies, and she finds out that he had all these illegitimate children around the world, and so she brings them all together to form this super group, and they all have
heroes.
She irradiates them with the same radiation that caused her husband to get his powers.
Right, his genes,
so they all
for
had
whatever
like a fraction of his powers.
Yeah,
like
he had like five different powers. You know, he could fly, one was strong, one's got telepathy, one
chameleon like.
Yeah, and so each one of them has a different power. And
power
so
pack?
Kind of, yeah. It had kind of, but they weren't young. They weren't like kids. They were all like adults, and they had, you know, they had their own lives and everything, and
well,
she just
like
kind of goes out.
Too, so.
Yeah, and she just goes out and gets them all together and forms this super group, and it was interesting. It was just an interesting concept.
And
It's like
yeah,
bitter,
the twist at the end was very good.
It's like bitter Lois Lane kind of having to carry on the Superman mantle.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Superman's a dick and has all these illegitimate children, and so she's got these five reminders of how much of an ass her husband was.
And she was probably the most interesting of the characters in the book because it's really her, you know, it's like at one point she's just like, do you know how hard it is for me to have to put up with the constant reminder of you five? You know, the reminder that my husband cheated on me all the time?
Absolutely.
And she gets a little more interesting by the end of the book. So it was just, it was fun. It was an interesting concept. You know, a little bit of a postmodern look at you know, a Superman-like character.
I think,
but not, you know, it wasn't like overly serious. It had good action. It was funny and it was just a cool little book.
It's Kirkman, and it's deserved because he's a very interesting writer when it comes to superheroes. It always seems to me that, like, new superhero books are the last type of books I'd ever want to read because the mainstream has it covered pretty well.
And
but my
most
point
of the
is,
time when you see new superhero books that come out, they're just a ripoff of something that
absolutely.
We've seen before.
But Kirkman makes things different, and
Ferber
does
too.
As well. Yes,
he always takes things – he puts such a different perspective on stuff that maybe you have seen before. But Small Gods was a good little book, and because of what he did with it, of taking, you didn't care for it.
Did he do Small Gods? I don't remember him doing Small Gods.
That was
The comic book. I don't think that was.
I thought Small Gods was the guy that started out with that contest on Newsarama. No, the Marvel thing. He had the column on Newsarama about how he's with the Marvel project.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was him.
I don't think that was Ferber.
He did Noble Causes, which is that great superhero soap opera story. Yeah,
and he did New Warriors back in the day as well.
And he did not Expatriate, The Emissary. Wasn't that him?
Yes.
I think that was him, Emissary, which was there was the other book too where
and I can't remember the name of it, but it was where it's like a newspaper reporter makes a deal with a superhero to cover him and to cover his super feats. Well, you know, and it's kind of this arrangement that he'll like let him in on stories.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
And yeah, I mean, kind of in that same way that Peter Parker was able to cover Spider-Man, being the same person, but if it was two different people, and
right?
That was a pretty good story as well.
But Dynamo 5 was just a refreshing little kind of
different take on stuff
that you hadn't seen before.
And the hero that it's based on had his start in Noble Causes. You did see Captain Dynamo. Did you?
Yes, because it was interesting because they showed his funeral in this and
were the nobles there?
The nobles there and like Shadowhawk was there.
Oh yeah,
and,
well that's the fun thing about Image.
Shadowhawk has to make his appearances where he can.
Well, Dragon, no one gives a shit. Yeah, I didn't see Dragon, but there were, who else was there? There were a few other Image. You know,
it's funny,
you type in
Small Gods comics and the
Terry
first
Pratchett.
One, the first link that comes up is a review by our buddy John Hook from Kansas City, and the writer is Jason Rand.
Well, then I was completely wrong.
He started out with that Marvel Epic like relaunch thing, and then that went sour.
I could have sworn that was the same guy, but I guess
doesn't sound Turkish.
The only reason I know this
look
is because
look up Dynamo 5's artist if you would, sir.
The only reason I know
we
this
could
is
give
and you know what, Emissary
Turkish
may,
artist props.
Emissary may be him instead of Faber, too. I don't know, but
Noble Causes and no, Jay's a great writer. He also had a great detective book called Dodge's Bullets. Which
I remember.
I told him, and I don't know if you guys watch the USA show Psych.
I think Psych
is by far one of the most fantastic shows on television.
Well, if you are not watching the show, you need to get off.
Jay had the basic, or Mark will come and beat the living shit out of you. Fucking funny show.
It's a very funny show.
Lighting, and it has that same feel. And the guy, the main character,
the main character is fantastic. Oh my God. He's great.
And Deuce. And
if it wasn't for him, they couldn't pull that show.
And Deuce Hill is great.
It would be a terrible show.
Or Dule Hill.
Dule Hill, though. Him and his.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Dule Hill, who was Charlie on The West Wing. He was Martin Sheen's
assistant.
Yeah.
I knew I recognized
he's
that.
The, he's
right,
the number
right.
two on that show, and he's great. Very funny. But I think Dodge's Bullets was very much like Psych.
Going off track for a second.
Muhammad Ashrar?
That sounds right.
That sounds much more Turkish than Rand.
No, Rand's the writer of... Forget it.
Either way, it sounds more Turkish, though, doesn't it?
Going off track for a second, who else is excited about seeing Jeff Goldblum act weird and
stuff?
Yeah, actually,
an NBC show.
Now we're turning this into a crank cast.
It's going to be a new Thursday night show on NBC.
They already have that show.
I just like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, but it's a guy instead of a chick.
It's more than Medium. It's every show that's on right now, but with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, we like Jeff Goldblum.
Is it Medium? I've heard good things. Medium is a fine show.
Is
it Arquette? Is that her?
Yes, and she's very good in it.
It's
a very good show.
Dude, yeah, and yet you hate Heroes.
Unfortunately, this season it's opposite.
She is... Time wise, she has actually proved to be the better looking Arquette sister. Her sister Roseanne, is it Roseanne Arquette?
Yeah, Roseanne.
Started out being the much hotter sister, has now turned into the tragic accident.
Oh man,
it is
a
sister. But
middle age does it all of us, sir.
But, okay.
I'm fucking.
Medium
is
looking
great. Don't get me wrong.
It is, and she's married to the Punisher.
Is that her husband?
She married to Tom Jane, or is she married to Nick Cage?
Is it Tom Jane?
It is Tom Jane. That's right.
Married to Thomas Jane.
Yes.
Wow. Well,
I'm tied with him. I can call him Tom.
By far, that shark movie he was in, fantastic.
Going further off track.
Yes?
Yes.
OT. I figured out what would make Dresden Files good.
Please.
I like that show to a degree, but yeah, there's something.
I've never watched it.
There is something.
It's a little flat.
I keep hearing about it.
I do like his main character, but he needs like a sidekick better than the ghost
guy. Rather than the guy playing Dresden now, if Nick Cage would have played Dresden rather than just produce, that show would be brilliant.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Especially with his little quirky...
Did you see Galactica?
You want some beans? Yeah, but I mean...
I don't want to see Nick Cage playing anybody but like a troubled writer or like...
Alcoholic
kind of
in Las Vegas.
Yeah, something like that. Something weird and screwed up. I love him in those roles.
What about a bakery guy at an Italian bakery?
I didn't care. He was okay in that part.
Right. If you actually let that was the only
Johnny,
movie
don't.
I look back at that movie.
Moonstruck's
a great movie.
Which if you look at it, if you go back and look at that movie, if they had just made a Submariner movie at that time period, he would have so been Submariner.
Nick Cage.
He looks so much like Namor when he comes out because he's all.
I think the Rock's got that covered.
Or his
covered,
shirt's
man.
Off. He's got he had hair then.
I think the Rock's got that covered.
The Rock?
No, yes. The Rock's going to play Black Adam in the Shazam movie.
But he can play both.
He's got to. He is Black Adam. Look at him.
Or he's Namor as well.
My second
Namor.
Choice
he would be the Black Adam. No, Black Adam.
Black
he's
Adam,
right.
He's right on.
He sure. Completely right. Black sure. Adam is his perfect
oh,
part.
Yeah. And he could be way over the top. He doesn't have to be,
sure.
Like, you know what I mean, because that's Black Adam.
He oh, he's proven he can act.
Well, he's pretty good.
No, I like him. What was that buddy movie he did?
Rundown?
Rundown. That's a great movie. I love that movie.
Ugh.
Well, sorry, connoisseurs of...
Ugh.
It's connoisseurs of crap.
J.R. Rand.
It was Rand?
Yeah.
Okay, so the guy that did Small Gods did write Emissary, and it wasn't Jay Faber. But I thought they were the same guy. They write
you know,
kind of similar
But you
style?
Like Dynamo 5 in that same
I did like Dynamo 5.
And I like Noble Causes as well. Chase
and
Cole.
The Emissary really...
And you're as bad
guy.
As being with people pretty in good, movies.
All right.
Any other TV shows we want to...
Dave doesn't like it, though.
Oh, wait. Movies, hey, look, TV Chris shows? Has more than one top of the stack. Well,
I do
there's
not.
Something new. Oh, I thought... Sorry, I saw you grab two issues. I apologize.
Chris always has more than one.
Oh, hey, I have one other question I wanted to just touch on. Mark, you saw 300?
Yes,
correct.
Yes, I did.
Oh, how did you
Midnight
like it?
Showing, baby.
How did you like it?
Was it brilliant?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
Was
I
it
thought it was...
Awesome?
It was. It was just really intense, really, you know... It's amazing how pretty violence can be. It's the only way to explain it otherwise. I mean, it's such a pretty film to watch, even though it's... I mean, these guys just killing and killing and killing and being killed and just visually just a gorgeous film. There are spots in it that... To me, it's like I don't know. I'm sure they're probably. I'm not a Mr. Film, but one of the first American films I've ever seen that has that same feel of some of the imports, the Asian imports, like Hero or House of a Thousand Daggers. We're talking, you know,
right? That has
that
gorgeous choreograph.
Sometimes you just want to hit
the
pause button and just go, God, that is just fucking beautiful. Because there's one scene I'm not going to remember, but they start doing a back away. The camera gets farther and farther away, and it's really just mayhem in a picture, but it looks like a painting by Michelangelo. It's so beautiful and so beautifully laid out.
That's
that
when
you just sit there and you're like, that is absolutely, that's it's art. It's like you know, it's like the comic book a bit. I mean,
it's
just so freaking beautiful.
I was watching the Icons with Frank Miller
mm-hmm.
they had on G4, which was kind of interesting. But the most interesting part was when they were talking to the director of 300,
Zack Snyder.
Yeah, and he was talking about sort of this. The way he filmed a lot of the action scenes, which I thought was really neat, that he took three cameras and put them right next to each other and shot the same, you know, the same scene with all three films in different depths so that he could edit it together. You didn't have to cut anything, but you could go from, you know, one depth to...
You have different perspectives of the same shot
with no edits, no cuts.
Oh, that's great.
And he could just blend them all together, and I really want to see what that looks like.
It looks cool. That's probably where I did the slowdowns. There's these beautiful spots where the action just... It's going full speed, and all of a sudden it just goes at like half speed or quarter speed, and it's just so... But it's still fluid. It's just really...
Yeah, that,
and it's
that
just
must
amazing.
Be.
I you can't say enough about the film. I mean, go see it. If you're a comic book fan, go see it. If you're an epic fan, go see it. If you just like movies, just
ass kicking.
Yeah,
you just like seeing guys scream
on,
a lot.
These guys are the, you know, the medieval Green Berets. These guys kick some ass.
That's
the
when I'm actually like,
just,
as much as I hate going to theaters, I'm actually like considering
going to see that.
Oh, just because
God,
I know on
to,
a on a giant
Chris,
screen.
Yeah. Chris,
oh my
if
God.
You hadn't
field trip tomorrow, man.
If you hadn't called us tonight to come over and record,
we
were going to go see it.
Oh, sure, blame it on me.
No, we'll go tomorrow, man.
It's your fault I don't get to see it twice in 2 nights.
Well, it certainly looked amazing, so I'm looking forward to it.
It was lovely.
Lovely.
I have one book.
Oh,
you had two.
I was showing
There's
John.
Two right now.
He was showing me the cap
John
cover.
John asked to see this version.
The Epting cover.
So everyone out there that's been giving me crap about picking multiple tops of the stack.
You picked too many.
Enough.
Talk about multiple
it's not
of the
their
same
fault.
Now.
I have one, and I'm actually sharing it with Tom and Dave.
No,
so it's technically a third of a top of the stack.
So doesn't make up for all the other 55 episodes.
Criminal
70.
Criminal
Whatever.
Number 5 came out this last week. It was a great wrap up to Brubaker's first arc in Criminal. I Definitely not the feel-good book of the week, but I thought it was a very satisfying conclusion to the story.
Is there another text piece in there?
Yes.
Yes. Cool.
It's actually a very long one. He got Patton Oswalt, Warren Ellis,
Rucka,
not Heinberg.
Talk about their favorite crime movies or whatever.
Films, crime films from like the 70s noir.
Oh, I look forward to that. That'll be great.
Yeah, it was really good.
Neo-noir.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's a way to put it.
David Goyer,
Fraction.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait to read what Fraction says. That's great.
Fraction says Charlie Houston.
That was the other one, Charlie Houston.
So,
good.
Yeah, it's he told a story about a guy who's really kind of a no good dirt bag, and he made you care about him. And the resolution of the story may not be how you wanted it to end, but that's what Criminal was all about. It was you know, putting to light the dark underbelly of. You know, of society.
I thought it had a really nice twist at the end too.
What were you fucking saying over there, smart ass?
I wasn't saying anything about you. You want me to? You want me to enlighten you? I can. I can if you really, really want me to, though. Something between me and Dave, but I'm happy to let everyone know.
Are you professing your love, huh? Dave? Are you professing your love?
Dave says we should keep it to ourselves.
Will you guys quit holding hands over there?
What I've liked about Criminal from the start is he's really set out to do, beyond the story, a real crime magazine. And that's why I do like those text pieces so much. And I think it's a great book. I haven't read the final chapter yet. I'm looking forward to it. And I know that others' future stories are focus on other people that we've been introduced first arc.
He gave you a bit of a teaser on the next arc and
very
who it's
cool.
going to be.
But it's definitely puts a bow on this arc. It is finished. It's done. And
well,
on this arc. Yeah.
Not on that. Not necessarily on this character. But
yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a huge Sleeper fan and always was, and Criminal has so far lived up to its hype. So,
yep,
very happy for both Brubaker and Phillips, and wish them continued success and many more readers, so that this will continue for years and years.
I hope that their children.
I want to wish them all the best.
That was his payment to Brubaker for the next interview.
I'd like
exactly.
To,
that means exactly that. The code in that is Ed. Like 3 weeks after you talk to the boys. Give me a call. No. Down the road, I'm sure that'll be making another word balloon appearance.
Absolutely.
He's more than welcome.
Looking forward to it. All right. Well, folks, this special Cap death of...
Around Crankcast
episode is winding down. What's...
thanks to our pit boss.
Yes, Crank, thank you, Chris, so much for hosting us. Pulling our
it's just like
fat,
it's like an episode of the Crankcast. He kind of like gets up.
Hey,
and
Crank!
Walks
Crank decided to get up and go. So
pulling
I'm
my
do no
fat
that's my little easy.
Yes,
Long Norton
Chris.
Voice.
Thank you very much for hosting us this evening. We definitely appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Anything special coming up on the Crankcast?
I think Scotty's taking over sometime soon.
Scotty Young,
like completely, or like just. Like planet wide,
if it works out all right, I might be able to retire.
It's gonna be the Scotty cast.
Best to you. Yeah. Awesome.
The
Young cast.
The Crank cast, or is it will be Scotty cast?
We haven't decided. No, I don't know. I
don't know. He's teasing.
I'm kidding. I don't know.
This guy's just got a lot of ideas.
Could be your first offshoot.
Your spinoff.
The spinoff.
Your Jefferson.
Exactly. That'll be our, you know,
exactly.
We'll have
it could be your Benson.
So you need an episode where Scott comes on and says he's moving to his own podcast, and, you know, you wish him well.
Crank's Place.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, that's it.
It's all going to branch out from here.
He's the Love Matic Scotty Young.
We'll get you a theme song going.
Love Matic Grandpa.
All right.
Well, please help us spread the Around Comics Club. You can do that in a few different ways. First of all, you can take us up on the Listener LCS Challenge. Just go to www.aroundcomics.com and download our LCS flyer. Ask your local comic shop manager or owner if they would display that in their store, and we will mention both you and the store on the show and provide a link at our site for the store. It's just that easy. You can also become our virtual friend at www.comicspace.com/aroundcomics or at MySpace, which is www.myspace.com/aroundcomics.
I hope everyone enjoys hearing Chris say www as much as I do.
Because everybody forgets that.
How does the internet work? I don't know.
What's funny is you don't even have to put www.
Not anymore. But by all means, keep saying it. And you can check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. Oops,
hey.
I blew off Sal. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's your source for the best in comic
the breasts.
News.
Breasts.
The breasts in comic news,
we
reviews, and opinions. That would be at AroundComics.com.
We are.
Sorry. I am definitely going to www.aroundcomics.com.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicpodcast.com.
You know, you guys,
maybe you could just
so everyone's aware,
here's a
we post next week's
the
topic on Tuesdays
say just
at our forum
at
aroundcomics.com.
www.
And as Sal said, we were supposed to have Simon Oliver this week.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to him next week, I believe, and and get that out there. Thank you again to Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you are looking for. And discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on the www.aroundcomics.com website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at www.aroundcomics.com. .com.
We are proud to help support the HERO Initiative. HERO creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given so much enjoyment to us. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org. Or call 310-909-7809. Normally, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us.
Well, we all have been meeting to Chris, so he's flipping us off.
This week, Crank, thank you very much. Everyone else, go to hell.
You go to hell.
You die.
Well, then I'll see you in hell.
You guys are like dealing with cats in a cradle.
Aww.
Dead cats in a biscuit oven.
Cats in a flaming cradle.
In a biscuit oven filled with mashed potatoes, biscuits, and gravy.
If you
and an ornery skunk.
You gotta turn the heat up slow. And then you have some biscuits and gravy.
While you're watching that frog.
And throw in some salt, that adds the flavor.
Everyone have a fantastic week. We'll be back again on sometime next week with another new episode, unless I forget my power cord again. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around
www.comics.com.
God, I really miss Tom.
www.comics.com?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's
a site. www.www.com.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today and remember to join us next time when the panel will change but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.
Okay, Chris, go ahead and give me a countdown.
You can't do it without a countdown.
That's a special cue to tell everyone to shut the fuck up.
Chris just likes the countdown.
From what?
Three.
25.
3 usually works.
20.
3's usually,
99, I don't know.